there's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, here we are again. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible Study. For those that join me again this afternoon, we are moving around long. Broadcast, Bible studies, woohoo! Every day. Think we're all getting ready for something? I don't know. Kind of sounds like it, don't it? Does sound like it. What are we getting ready for? Do you really know what we're getting ready for? To us? See the changes, the in people, and supernatural events being reported and so forth. Changes in family members. I'm sitting in my own family life, father, mother, other relatives. Things are starting to change. You hear little things, you know, so-and-so is... really was good today. Oh, really? Yeah, he's got a job too. Blah, 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 blah. Really? Oh, yeah. Things are starting to change. You see little things, you're just kind of like, hmm. And you see little tears swell up in their eyes when they're blessed with something because you know that's the Holy Spirit moving on them. And you say, wow, things are starting to happen, you know, in people's lives. He said that would happen, little by little. Sometimes it's more than just little by little. Sometimes it's a lot. And what do you define as a lot? Well, tonight we're going to talk about some other additional ways that Satan controls and some mechanics and mechanics or the science behind it. But also, get out your paper, your notebook, or cards, or whatever you got. And what we're going to talk about tonight, methods of control, some detail you're not going to hear at too many places. But that's not the reason I said the cards or notebook or whatever. I'm going to talk about tonight also on how to lead someone to Jesus. What steps do you take? I'll talk about that tonight. And we'll see how far we get on those two ambitious subjects tonight. I think this is really the most important part. Everything else in my travels, I mean, you might see something different. That's okay. But in my travels with this knowledge that you've gained on your own about the Illuminati and all that stuff, the New World Order, and we're not a country, we're a corporation, dummy, all this stuff. And really, yeah, oh yeah. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. Did you know that? No, I really, yeah. Well, you've got their attention that, you know, first of all, you can't believe what you read anymore. But that you got their attention if they're listening this far, then you got to hook them and say, do you know Jesus Christ? And there he comes. And there comes the Holy Spirit starting to work on them. Because all this really is preparing them to let them know that what's working in the background. That's got their attention. Sure got my attention. And then comes the, or begs the question, what do I do about it? Oh, funny you ask. Bingo. But then you get the other response. Man, you're crazy. I don't believe none of this. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're one of those Alex Joneses. I don't know. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. And back and forth it goes. Or, man, I don't want to hear anymore. Leave me alone. Go away. Unfriend me. Unfriend you. Do whatever. Just go away. I don't want to know. Don't you want to know? No, I don't want to know. Don't you want me to tell you? No, I told you I don't want to tell you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. Just make it go away. Oh, man. But let the Holy Spirit work on them. You can't grab them by the stack and swivel and say, now listen to me, and choke them. You know, stack and swivel is, don't you? Never mind. Anyway, you got to be sort of gentle. I've learned that. Didn't used to be that way. But now I've gotten a little more gentle about it. How do you know that you're saved? How do you actually know it? There comes a change in you. That's one of the biggest ways of knowing it. There's a change. And what do I mean by? Well, for me, I just say for me, was change of listening to music. I listen to K-Love or whatever it is or something. I mean, I know it's got Christian rock in there and stuff. Then they talk about the NIV Bible and stuff, and I'm like, ooh, you know, I'm just, that's the way it is. But I don't listen to the rock and roll music as I used to at all. The 60s, the 70s. It still makes me beat my feet every now and then when I hear Rubber Band Man, you know, disco, whatever. Here, disco there, and that go there, and so forth. But then I start, a little voice there reminds me, don't get lost in it, because it does pull you away. It's frequency, vibration. Oh, there he goes with that term again, frequency. Put the physics in there and all this. Well, that's what it is. It really is. And it works, too. We exist here to glorify God. That's what we're here for. Help each other. Money doesn't come from God. Satan come up with that. Our service and love and caring about each other, that comes from God. God don't have no Federal Reserve in heaven. Not going to have one down here neither. He's not going to say, go out there and get you a bunch of rocks, different colored rocks, and then we'll use this for currency. Yeah, think about it for a minute. not there. You know? No technology. You think, well, God's coming down. When Jesus Christ comes, we're going to have spaceships, UFOs, and cars that talk to you, whatever. Star Trek. Everybody's, the Freemasons are seeing the 6,000 inventions that's not released yet is the carrot that's keeping them put in. They're never going to see those 6,000 inventions that they know about the highest level be released. That's a carrot. They'll never see them because the tribulations will be in between. They'll never happen. People keep forgetting about the second seal being opened. That's the red horse. That's the real world war. This is serious. It's not fun and games. 4 billion people plus will die in that period of time. I said plus. Then next comes starvation, famine. That's the black horse. And then the green horse is pestilence. I know it's not, you know, fun to talk about, but that's what's coming. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then why do you read the Bible for? It's in the Bible. You got to know what's coming. A time that this world's never seen. You know why it's going to be worse than any time ever? Because of all the sins that's been committed. All the hate and killing and rape and murder and all this going on, all built up to the final 7 years of tribulation. God is going to rain down judgment on this earth that it can't even imagine. And there's no little island that anyone can go, if we're still here, that they can hide from the wrath of God on this planet. Everything built up, all the people, the wrath of God is not going to be some little river in Pakistan that turned red. That, you know, and I see these Begleys and these preachers, whatever, and evangelists come up with this nonsense. It just really torques my jaw so bad. Man, I can't even drink liquid Jell-O through a straw. It's just, you know, God's wrath. What was God's wrath the other day? Oh, yeah. You heard you're at God's wrath? No, what was it? Oh, yeah. There's a red river, algae red river something in Pakistan. We're already in the sixth trumpet. Is that God's wrath? Yeah, it's God's wrath. Oh, really? Did anybody call and tell Nate and Yahoo that? Anybody tell Billy Graham or any of the others that we're in God's wrath because some river is red in Pakistan? We'll wait till February, March, you see, and you got St. Patty's Day. You can see a green river in Chicago. That's pathetic. I mean, it's criminal. God's wrath is not some isolated incident in some whatever country, whatever. Family, it's going to be worldwide at the same time. You know, I mean, God don't do small things. Not going to be a time where someone will say, hey, man, we still through the tribulation. No, it's over last week. Oh, really? Do you have reruns? What are they talking about? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, what if people didn't hear about that Red River in Pakistan or the hailstones that fell in Texas or 900-pound hailstone in Croatia or whatever? What if nobody heard about it? Whoa, it just went through the tribulation, didn't it? Wow, it just happened, and what happened? I don't know. Where were you? Well, I was watching halftime. What? No. Everybody on earth will know. Nobody's going to be left out. Trust me. Not going to happen. Every human being ever lived will be judged one of two places. Judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. Every human being that's dead now will be brought back to life. The ones in hell will be pulled out of hell and will be appearing before God just long enough to be judged at the great white throne. The ones dead in Christ, the bodies dead in Christ, but they're still in heaven with their spirit. The bodies will join up with their spirit in a glorified way. And they'll go through the judgment seat of Christ, which is a reward time. Then you've earned your place to be above the angels. Not right now. We haven't passed through the fire yet. It's coming. Every word I say, every thought I think, something like that, God knows what it is, even before I do it. If I talk about certain things, and I've failed a few times, you know, I mean, I'm not innocent, but I'll tell you like it is. I've been doing this preaching for, well, I call it preaching. I'm not a preacher, but I guess I've been doing preaching. For the past 4 years now, every day, virtually, practically, minus about one or two. And I say some serious things on the air, and I, about biblical principles. And I do research to make up for my lack of having a degree in theology. I wouldn't go to theology school now if they paid me to go. I wouldn't last more than a week anyway, because they'd probably kick me out. I'm not going to sit there with some professor talks about NIV Bible. I would not be quiet. No way. Or he says, Yeshua, my hand's going up. You know, it talks about Yahweh, my hand's going up. And really, we like the NIV Bible. My hand's going up. That's just the way there's no way I'm going to sit still. So I wouldn't last long. They'd kick me out. I'm not going to be quiet, none. But to say these things and not live them puts me on report. So when I got to say things, I got to live it. So I'm always conscious of my personal life. When I have a thought and I'm going through the internet and checking this, and there's the 10 top cheerleaders of NFL football. And I think, whoa. Then a little voice says, Tom, now, boy, now watch it. I'm watching you. I mean, that goes through my head when I'm sitting alone and I'm here and that darn cat's around here and whatever. And I'm still looking at the internet. I mean, God's right there with you. Where you draw the line? Just because you don't hear him verbally, audibly, and sitting beside you, don't mean he's not with you 24 hours, 7 days a week, and knows what you're going to do before you know you're even going to be offered the opportunity to do whatever. It's right there. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Let's get moving here. Lord, thank you tonight for being able to come together in a Bible study. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Bible, the King James Bible that leads us in the path of righteousness, shows us what the Word is, Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that keeps us tight and controlled and keeps us convicted. Lord, lead us tonight in this prayer and Bible study. And Father, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you. And Father, remind us of your love. Remind us of the sins that we've not remembered, that, Father, we can repent of them. Lord, to help our families, we ask for miracles, Lord, for those to be healed, and through the maladies, through the problems, through the physical ailments that they have, the pain they're going through, that, Father, you use this to bring others to Jesus and bring families together. Father, cover us in the blood of Jesus to protect us these days to come and give us wisdom, discernment, that, Father, we may continue to study, and, Father, to be able to discern the events of the days, that we're not deceived. And these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, y'all, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how Satan controls us. And it's going to get just a tad bit complicated. I'm going to try to simplify it, though. I'm going to simplify it, the part I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to take it right directly from the Illuminati's own mouth and how they control and what they got planned up. I have a textbook. I got two of them, actually. See, they produce these textbooks. People don't realize it, which ones are. And I got my hands on two. And when I read them, I got to read them with code. I got to read them in how they're trying to get it across to their initiates and then apply it to reality of what the Bible says. When I try to understand what they're really trying to say. But they got to print the truth to teach their people, because their people go to actually courses and classes and colleges of some sort. Well, it makes reading the Bible almost necessary to understand what they're trying to say, because with their plans, God's going to allow them certain latitude, as he is doing. Now, I found something, of course, I'm assuming most of who's to hear tonight have heard me before, so know where I'm coming from. And I found something very interesting here. I probably should have found it before I mentioned it. But there was an individual from the UK. There it is. Okay. Oh. No, that's not it. There was an individual from the UK, from an organization, Conservative Party, a counselor, whatever they call him. And he was taken out of the whatever this political party is. And the reason he was because he said the heavy rain, the flooding, was a result of them allowing homosexual marriages or something like that. Now, they said, man, you're crazy. And so they got him out of there. They released him. And they fired him for saying such a nonsensical thing, that the weather was directly related with in that particular situation, about relating that proving homosexual marriage and the flooding. Well, that's exactly what I was talking about back in May when they had that tornado, F5, in Oklahoma. You see, what people don't understand is that when you make the laws change to support Satan, then God's going to judge that state, that country, that individual. If you change your way of doing things, called fallen way, God steps away from you, and immediately you're attacked by Satan. That's what happens. And this, on the highest level, is the reasons. It is the reason why NAACP, ACLU, they have different assignments, try to get a state or a town or whatever to take down the Ten Commandments or change their ruling to allow to take Bibles out, whatever, all that. And if they make a ruling, God steps away from blessing them anymore. That's what happens. So in Oklahoma, there's a 16-year-old kid that threatened to sue this particular town in Oklahoma, and this town was hit with a darn tornado, the F5 that destroyed it. It's right nearby there. And he threatened the school that for a lawsuit if they didn't take down the Ten Commandments or something like that. And they met that night because a 16-year-old threatened to sue. And they, in fact, did it. They made a ruling. Now, the same ruling, the same threat was going to be made down in Florida with another school there that is working on. And they failed after, I don't know, something like 6 months of working on it. The court ruled against the ACLU. They lost it. They couldn't remove those Ten Commandments. So like a month later, they went to Oklahoma, the middle of the buckle of the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And it worked in a month. So my guess is, before they went and changed over to Oklahoma as Plan B, they had worked on some of the members of the council to make sure they're on their side. And then when they came over, the 16-year-old kid, and they support him in the background. They're ready for him. Because you know when they take the blood oath, Masons, they're under lock and key, you might say. They have no freedom. And the same weekend, they had a gay march. Several thousands of people that were gay marching on Sunday of that same weekend. And boy, there come that tornado. F5 and tore everything up. God pulled away his restraint. So as crazy as it may sound about this guy in in the UK making that claim and then firing him, he is actually right. So people don't understand how significant the supernatural really is in our lives in this earth. Where your ideas really come from. Holy Spirit does the same thing. When you allow Jesus Christ to come in, it's the way the supernatural works. People don't realize this. And yesterday I talked about how Satan controlled with the three methods, overshadowing / channeling. Now, right now, I'm just going on, I'm putting this together in my head as I go along. But people, and when people hear about this supernatural, how important it is, boy, they don't like that at all. Because it's scary. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? Well, no, because it's normal. Not just scary, it's normal. In the supernatural world. And it's real too. And it's what operates this world. People don't like to hear it. It's like watching a scary movie or something like that. Well, sorry about that, but that's the way it works. The supernatural rules. If we allow it to. Jesus Christ will put the Holy Spirit in your heart. If you'll ask him to. Well, the Illuminati, the New Age, it's all connected. It's not Islam, it's not Judaism, it's not the Vatican, the Roman Catholicism, not that at all. All that's distraction and people don't know what they're talking about. It is the New Age movement includes concepts of Zoroastrianism, Mithraism, intermingled into Christianity, Judaism, everything's all mixed up in the New Age movement to include everybody. That's how they're going to pull people in. You got the solar angel, chalices, avatars. And you know, I will give you directly from their own teaching, their own textbook, that this, you've heard of the chalice before. It's mentioned about in Dan Brown and all that. Well, they got a different word for it. The Druid Chalice of Life. Holy Grail. Oh, I've heard that. Dan Brown. Yeah, it was in their textbook. The enemy is really the Tibetans. They're the channelers. Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas. Are holding the chalice blossoming with tongues of flame. They're demons. In esoteric literature, for example, they include heaven as a mental place where the chalice is found. And the treasure is in the chalice. Now, even in Illuminati's textbook, they say it's symbolized as the Holy Grail sought by the Knights of the Round Table. It all connects here. It is in the chalice that our true guide exists, they say. But he cannot express himself until the permanent atoms or seeds are cleansed or purified. Chalice are in full bloom, filled with the elixir of life. Translation. Until you get the Holy Spirit out of you, renounce Jesus Christ, and do something abominable. That was awkward. Abominable. To be cleansed and purified, to get that Holy Spirit out of you so you can be indwelled with a demon. That's what they should be saying. That's exactly what it is. The elixir of life is putting a demon in you that's making you feel good until he kills you. It's called for what it really is. They even say that the purifying process is a result of the compiling of the compilation of the solar angel within us. The possession, the demon, they call the solar angel. It's a darn demon is what it is. And the solar angel, the demon, they say, vibrates at higher octaves. And that notes as a purifying stream of energy. Will come out of or throw out all that it does not fit in the plan of the human soul. So this act of meditation is sort of a process of a conscious assimilating of these energies. Energies. Translation. Demons. Possession is what we're talking about here. So this chalice is talking about possession. Because the chalice, quote, is built primarily on the substance of the solar angel. That's possession. That's evil. Total evil. And the human soul, they say, makes itself ready to wear it as the robe of glory. You see how they pull people in? Hook, line, and sinker. So when this body, the chalice, the demon, or the robe of glory, is built or woven, the emotional seed disappears. Yeah, you lose yourself. Let's call it what it is. And the astral body disintegrates. Yeah, you lose your soul. Thus, the man enters into direct communication with the intuitional plane. And they say that here lies the source of true and direct knowledge. And they even include, they have the gall to include, that this is hinted at one of the parables of Christ. He spoke of the man who had no proper wedding garment to attend the feast. And so one could ask, it begs the question, how the man was refused, who was refused, who entered the feast. And then some people enter in a higher level of consciousness. And you'll love this part of it. They say, out and out, straight out. Some people enter the higher levels of consciousness through the means of drugs and by breathing exercises. But if they're not ready to wear the robe of glory, they suffer many ways. Yeah, let's call it what it is. Spontaneous combustion. A bad spiritual experience of being possessed by a demon. Let's call it for what it really is. Because they're not. They tell you you're going to suffer. They don't tell you how. Man, this is huge what I'm telling y'all. This is massive, man. Because this is what they're going through. And this is how they sell it. And they say that Christ is going to replace Buddha. And they integrate Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, all into their own little thing. The Wesak ceremony is very important to them. When I say Wesak festival, you think nothing about it, really. People say, oh, Wesak festival, where? Oh, that thing I read about, in Mount Shasta, California. Yeah, that's a major ley line, by the way. Oh, yeah, they do seances and crystal balls and dance around the maypole, probably naked at night or whatever. That's not what goes on. Child sacrifice. Meditation, and they bring Sanat Kumara there, and that is Satan, family, supernaturally, either channeled, or if they have enough sacrifice, enough energy developed, it manifests. El Moria, Saint Germain, Dajuaku, Hilarion, whichever one they conjure up, will be there. Wesak Festival in May, about $300 a ticket. You know they scrutinize it. They don't want someone coming there and saying the Lord's Prayer. That would not go over very well at all. They talk about this one, the Christ, when upon each stage of his development, he radiates more beauty, more power, and more bliss. And he says, every man is divine. Now you know where they get that co-creator nonsense. Nothing exists in the cosmos which is not from him. So this is what they mean when they say, greater things you will do than I've done. You see how they hijack the truth? So, now, what really gets kind of interesting here is that they say the Tibetan master says that the great Lord Christ decided in 1945, sound familiar, to stay with humanity another 2,000 years to push forward the evolution of humanity, wow, until humanity creates true peace, finds its way toward infinity. What do they say there? In 1945, just like I've been telling y'all, was when began the targeting the United States for destruction, to get rid of Christianity, get rid of all religions, including the Roman Catholicism, except for this New Age movement, in preparation for World War III. They ain't telling them about that yet. It all began in 1945. That's at the end of the second phase, just about, that Alice Bailey was going through to bring in the New Age movement. Man, it all matches out. That's some heavy stuff, man, I tell you. then even say there that this will pave the way for the new world religion, which will emerge slowly. The most important step toward the new world religion is removing all separate walls among the existing religions. And the common denominator of the golden thread running through all of them. And when this is done, they'll see all religions were instructions to humanity from the same source. Family, that's already being done. One religion. They're explaining how they're going to do it. And the Pope's already been doing it, bringing all the religions in. Family, we're seeing it manifested before our face in the news. That's why I cover the news the way I do. It's only the merchants of religion who spoil the purity of religions, creating hatred and pollution among them. Now, let's translate that properly. It's only ourselves of religion who promulgated religion, who caused this spoiling of purity religions, by the Hegelian dialectic, creating hatred and pollution among them, as we control both sides. But we're not telling you that, is what they should say. And to say eventually the world's going to see the new world religion, which is secular humanism, by the way, will not only be an emotional appeal, but also scientific and true spiritual appeal toward the fountain of life. Fountainhead. I've heard this before. The fountain of life in the New Age movement. That's important. Now, we will scientifically communicate not only with the departed ones, but with the great masters and great lives in space, galaxies, and so forth. No. They'll scientifically communicate not only with the fallen angels, but with the demons, the higher level fallen angels. That's the great masters they're talking about. They don't list it there in your book. I just did it for you because that's what it is. This is what the new world religion will be, an enormous expansion, communication with manifold cosmos. They say that the Wesak Festival is the greatest step toward this achievement. As we're told, the great founders of all religions are present at the Wesak Festival, the Wesak Valley, chanting and performing their ceremonies, which will bring cosmic energies to the world. Let's translate. Where they're chanting and performing the ceremonies, the sacrifices of children, which will bring demons into our world. That's proper translation. The Tibetan master says it will be one of the Wesak festivals that the reappearance of the Christ will occur. I wonder if that means that this one then. He'll come and give us new teaching of the New Age. Now, without going in detail, but give you generally layout, this is important information when you're in studying the occult. It's going to answer a lot of questions here about, when I say the hexagram and pentagram and all that, that they use. Well, when they say, or they can say that different energies are drawn and expressed by different formations. These formations act as magnets. That's your signs, your symbols. Or they put in the pentagram, witches in certain locations. The same thing when they were moving the stones at the pyramids, they'd put the instruments and the players of the instruments in certain formations, play the musical vibrations, which would change the DNA, change their photons, atoms, and so forth, of those stones, making them lighter. Then they used Nephilim to pick them up. That's how they did the pyramids, by acoustical levitation, using sound alchemy. So these formations act like magnets or transmitters of sort. That's the purpose of the pyramids. For example, the triangle or the pyramid attracts a different energy than the five-pointed star. And they each release energy received into different planes or levels. That was what was going to happen at the Tower of Babel. Why God took it down. And these formations, symbols, have different functions. Because number one, they attract energies, frequencies, demons, Ouija board. Let's call it what it is. And they're telling you right here. And they fuse them together. Number two. And number three, they radiate in proper channels, frequencies, to further the evolution of humanity. And no, they radiate them in proper channels to further the damnation, the possession of humanity, is what it means. And they say, said that the forces will be greatly accelerated after the year of 1975. That was the beginning of the third phase of the revelatory phase of the New Age movement, by the way. And when Shirley MacLaine says in the movie, I'm God, that's when it all took off in 1975. And they tell you right here, that's what they're going to do. The Tibetan master says that at the Wesak of 75, quote, a powerful energy will be released upon humanity. In other words, you know what that powerful energy was? They don't tell you here. I know exactly what that was. In my separate investigation of this, I found out that that fruitcake over there in Pentagon, that nutcase by the name of Colonel Michael Aquino, one evil individual, your Aleister Crowley type, he walks on water there at the Pentagon. Oh, yeah. He's the MKUltra head. He invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975. I know that from separate investigation, totally unrelated to this other bit of information I'm giving you. That's huge. That is huge. Because they tell you here in this book written in 1977. Two years after this happened. Well, I'm telling you exactly what happened. So as a result of that release, man will be able to break through the wall of his ignorance, he enlightenment, yeah, through Satan, that's who he was invoked in 1975. And the chains of his hatred and separateness and, and prison of his physical limitations. Do y'all hear what I just said? And separateness. You see, the idea is to bring man back together culturally, biologically, to have a mixed race, eliminate all the separate races, all of them. That's been accomplished. Changing Face of America, October issue of National Geographic. This has been the dream, the American dream, the American experiment since 1425. This is exactly what they planned. And not only bringing, they say, breaking through the walls of ignorance and chains of hatred and separateness and the prison of their physical limitations. This is happening. They've done it. And you know, a very interesting period also came at the year of 1966 and would persist to the end of the century. That'd be 1999. 33 years later, that was to be the New World Order. Wesley Clark was trying to start World War III in Kosovo in June of 1999. They failed to take place. That was the same thing as the Y2K thing going on. Same time, this one named Alex Jones started lying about Putin launching an attack. Like he is today, actually. Yes, he is, isn't he, today? Well, he said on the radio December 31st, 1999, that Putin was launching an attack just like they are today. But that was a lie, because I was in Kosovo then. That never happened. But said on the radio for about an hour broadcast, describing Heinz being shot down, things being blown up, Americans' nuclear reactors were being shut down. None of that was true. It's supposed to have happened. It's ironic it's happening now, though. The part is you read about and over in Russia today, down in Venezuela also. But it's the one they said in 1966. And by the way, September 11th, 1966? Whoa. September 11th, 1966, the Masons laid the cornerstone for the New World Trade Center. Boy, not a hoot. That same year that they mentioned in the textbook. Isn't that a hoot now? This is amazing stuff. It's really happening. Well, but the biggest one is coming. That the force that they talk about, that's where your Star Trek and your Battlestar Galactica and Star Wars, may the force be with you. That's all setting people up for this mess. On fictional form, but taught to you. The force will find its expression upon the astral plane, producing just vast results of quieting nature and bring about reflex action. Peace on earth. Ever sound familiar in the first seal? The transmutation of desire into aspiration. See how they use these words? But what's interesting about this part is through this vibration of frequencies set up will come the possibility of taking the first initiation. In other words, toward the end of the greater cycle, they call it, the coming avatar will again employ the vestures with all that's entailed thereby. It'll take a, quote, physical body. It's called possession. And demonstrating on the physical plane the force of the Logos, administration of the law. When it comes to the close of the century, makes his power felt. Well, family, that never happened. That's when he's supposed to come. Right there, it tells you, right there, 1999. When it comes at the close of this century, makes a powerful felt, he will come as a teacher of love and unity in the keynote. Family, the Antichrist was supposed to have come in 1999. Jones was set up in America. Wesley Clark was going to plan it in June 99 to start the war. Wow. It all fell apart. That's amazing. It never happened. And they'd planned it. Well, I'm not done here yet. There's some other amazing things getting ready to pop up here. Watch this. They talk more about this Wesak Festival and so forth. It's very important, this Wesak Festival. For them, anyway. They say to watch the signs of the times. The brotherhood of the fallen angels, by the way. And be not discouraged upon the immediate future. This is 77, they're talking now. The appearance of the great Lord, translation, the Antichrist, Satan, on the astral plane, whether followed by his physical incarnation or not, that'd be channeling is the other option, will date from a certain Wesak festival in which a mantram known as those who are attending the seventh initiation, don't worry about that. It's all a bunch of the New Age nonsense. So you got to read this and then you got to kind of decipher it, what they're really trying to say, and it works. It says, when the hour has come, and already a few cases are found, they say, many cases of overshadowing. So now you know about this overshadowing. Possession is what it really is. And those will be seen and demonstrated in a threefold manner. And that's when I explained to y'all the different ways of overshadowing yesterday. That kind of brings it around. Well, I'm going to explain to you what they talk about with direct incarnation. And that way they do that, direct incarnation, will be employed by a certain of the masters to come inside, possess people. And through the process of one, a physical birth, that's a chela, that's a baby, that's being possessed by a demon, by a fallen angel, a very important issue, that person or that child will live a life and put in the right positions. Only way to do that is by taking the bodies of the hierarchy of the Illuminati families that have that direct bloodline. By physical birth, it's when they dedicate their infant to the supernatural beings. The second part is appropriation of a suitable vehicle or body. That's possession, clear in front. And number three, direct creation by an act of will. That will be rare. And they tell you about where they've went to. One in India. I bet that was Gandhi. Another in England. Who knows? Two in Northern America. One in Central Europe. Another made a great sacrifice and took a Russian body. I wonder if that's Khrushchev or Putin or one of those guys. Who knows? And certain initiates, the third initiation, has taken feminine bodies. One in India. Indira Gandhi, maybe, or I wonder which one that would be. One in India, female body, in due time to do much toward the emancipation of the women of India. Who did that? That would be the one that would be an avatar of the fallen angels. While another has peculiar work to do in connection with the animal kingdom. Now, here comes the major point. Remember I told you about the terminology of how they call people? It's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Master Jesus, the Christ, Bodhisattva, Krishna, the Kalki, K-H-A-L-K-I, Avatar, the Imam Mahdi. Well, the Master Jesus, and that's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Master Jesus will take a physical body, He'll take a physical vehicle, means a body. And with certain of his chelas, so the fallen angels, effect a re-spiritualization of the Catholic churches. Breaking down the barrier, separating the Episcopal and the Greek churches from the Roman. You know what that means? That's crashing the Catholic Church to re-spiritualize it. Like I've been saying, it'll morph into the New Age movement. They'll crash the Roman Catholic Church. That's why these fraudulent YouTube videos and so forth coming out saying that America and Europe or the Catholic Church is the Great Babylon, because they're going to crash it. And that will be the re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. And who comes next? The New Age movement. And the fake Christ, Sananda. And you got you a bunch of really confused Christians going on. Atheists will say, we told you so. And that will be the falling away right there. Whew! This is straight from their mouths. They said back then, and John Todd had reflected this when he was talking in the late 70s, quote, they're saying that this may be looked for should plans progress as hoped about the year 1980. Well, they're hoping didn't get over God's plan. And here the Master Hilarion, H-I-L-A-R-I-O-N, a fallen angel, will also come forth and become a focal point of Buddhic energy in this vast spiritualistic movement. While another master, working with a Christian Science endeavor, effort to swing it to sounder lines. They say the three masters are closely allied with the theosophical movement is already making. Boy, that's heavy. I mean, that's some serious stuff there, because that's real. How many people know that? Well, then it goes on to talk about the Wesak legend and so forth. Master Moria, all these family, they're going to hell. You know that? The Christ, you know who that is? Appears dressed in a pure white robe, his hair falling down the shoulders in waves. He had a little transgender going on there, don't it? He has a rod of power in his hand. Is given to him by the Ancient of Days for this occasion. That's Satan. No master may touch it except the Christ and Master of all masters. On each end of the rod, there'd be a large diamond knob, which radiates a blue and orange aura of great beauty. Sound like a magic wand, don't it? Now you see where Harry Potter comes into play. Wow. When he comes in to be more visible, all of these around him will bow to him and chant a mantra of salutation and affirmation. Sound a little familiar, don't it? It's funny how they talk about the signs and symbols. The next movement is a triangle within a circle. Whoa! I know what that is. Son of a gun. See, they're Lordy. They're describing witchcraft right here. Here again, powerful chanting thrills the hearts and souls of those present, and more joy and peace and blessing descend upon the crowd. The next movement is a triangle within the circle. That's as bad as witchcraft as you can get. Look up the triangle within the circle. At the apex of which stands the Christ. That's how they do it. He stands near the rock and places his rod upon it. On the rock you can see the crystal bowl with golden ornamentations and garlands of lotus flowers over the rock and hang from the corners. Famous all witchcraft. The next movement is a triangle superimposed with three ovals. Interlocking at the center, you know what that is. Interlocking at the center of the triangle where the Christ stands. That's coming close to the Olympic signal, the Olympic logo, doesn't it? The next movement is a six-pointed star. Hexagram sound familiar? Then the star of Christ the Pentagon. Ooh, boy. Here Christ stands at the apex, near the rock at the right point, the Manu at the left point, Lord of Civilization, other demons, the Master R, a great being stands in the center, the two great ones, and just goes on and on. And they're telling you what they're going to do. But see, they can't do anything. Right now we've proven that they've failed because God's in control. Now how about that? Well, they work on the full moon of Gemini and, you know, Gemini. I don't know Jim. Do you know Jim? I don't know Jim. I know a Jim. I got a cousin, Jim. So I guess that would be Gemini. Then they work on the full moon of the Gemini. Man, they're so going to hell. It's not even funny. Because they're going to mislead millions into this garbage. They even talk about the secret doctrine. How to form a triangle of light. They describe how to do that. Oh, boy. I tell you what, family. Which brings me to the next point. How to lead someone to Jesus. I think that's a good opening. I learned a little bit there myself tonight. That tells you what's going to happen. When they're allowed, but what's the most important thing that I've talked about tonight? Some of you may have got it already, that they failed in their timeline. Badly. Too bad those people at the Joint Chief of Staff and scientists that are Luciferian can't figure this out, that they've missed all their deadlines and why. If these aliens and ascended masters are so darn smart, so powerful, how come they can't never make deadlines? That should be some kind of a clue. But apparently it's not. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's pretty clear. And it also shoots down the Calvinism, by the way. And those that believe that just because Jesus Christ died on the cross, I don't have anything else. I'm already saved. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, no. You got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. It says in Romans 13, you can't cherry pick scripture. And what is the definition of lead? Lead a sinner to Jesus Christ. It's to show someone the way to go. Then take someone to a place to persuade to do something or cause them to believe something. And you do it in five steps. You cast the net of salvation. Introduction. You throw out the right bait, the gospel. You draw the net of salvation, the commitment. You pull your catch up to the boat. That's the prayer of commitment. Not just the words, but the meaning. In your heart, you mean it. And finally, you keep the catch, which is the assurance of salvation. So, think about it for a minute, of what I've just said. Because in the commitment, is very simply this question. You ask them, Would you like to receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Are you ready to receive Jesus Christ? Clarify it. You may say, what does that mean? Well, do you acknowledge that eternal life, heaven, is a free gift that you cannot buy or merit? And you're a sinner who cannot save yourself. Do you acknowledge that God so loved you that He laid on Jesus Christ your sins? And do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you, and He alone is your only way to heaven? Now you see why so many so-called Christians, evangelists and charismatics and Pentecostal and preachers and priests and rabbis, whatever, they miss the point. Big time, man. Big. They're going to many different ways of getting to heaven. And no, they're not. Not according to Scripture. Do you acknowledge that you need to put on your faith and trust in Jesus and the only Jesus Christ for your salvation? Do you acknowledge that you need to confess your sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and be your personal Savior? And last but not least, do you acknowledge that you need to repent of your sins, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Master of every area of your life? That's clarification of your commitment. So first we've talked about the definition of lead, to show someone the way to go. Secondly, we've talked about how to lead a person to sinner. You cast the net of salvation. That's the introduction. You throw out the right bait. That's the gospel. You draw the net of salvation. That's a commitment. You pull your catch up in the boat. That's a prayer of commitment. And you keep your catch. Now, in the introduction, here's what you do. Introduce yourself. Learn the first name of the prospect. Hey, John, I'm Tom. How are you? Or it may come up another way. You ask questions about the personal life of the suspect. That's creeping into me. Isn't it? Of the prospect. You ask questions about the personal life or get familiar to release and relax. Because right now the Holy Spirit's working on them. You ask questions about the spiritual life, and you share your personal testimony. And then you might want to ask them, can I ask you two of the most important questions anyone could ever ask you? Sure, what is it? Well, question one, are you 100% certain if you died today you're going to heaven? Now get them thinking. And number two, if you were to die today and be taken in the presence of Almighty God, and He were to ask you, what reason, why should I let you in heaven? What reason would you give Him? So say, well, I've got good news for you. So part two would be the gospel. What's the gospel? You tell them, Heaven is a free gift that cannot be bought or merited. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. You can better understand this, they say, when you hear what the Bible says about humanity. And what it says is, all humanity are sinners who cannot save themselves. You find in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 17. So then you lead them to, because all humanity sinned by being disobedient, and this to the Ten Commandments, by the way, God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for the sins of all humanity. For God so loved the world, he laid on Jesus Christ the sins of all humanity. John 3:16. So one of the most favorite verses. Is John 3:16. And in the King James Bible, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, some of these Bibles, they've taken that out. How about that? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's pretty clear. John 3:16. Other Bibles don't say that, though. So, 3 days after Jesus Christ died, he rose from the dead, paid full the penalty for sins. He purchased a place for us in heaven, which he now offers all humanity as a free gift. So in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven which given or given among men whereby you must be saved. He loaned your only way to heaven. So the free gift of salvation in heaven through Jesus Christ received only by faith. So, introduction. Get personal. Ask him two important questions. Are you 100% certain that you died today, you go to heaven? And question two, if you were to die today, what reason should God let you into heaven? Then tell him the good news gospel, Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9, that heaven is a free gift that cannot be bought or merited. And that all humanity are sinners and cannot save themselves. Exodus 20, verses 3 to 17, covers it in more detail. And because all humanity sinned, being disobedient to the Ten Commandments, God then sent his only Son to die on the cross for his sins. That takes us to John 3:16. And then you remember the 3 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross, he rose from the dead, paid for a penalty of sins, purchased with a price. So he alone is your only way to heaven, not Mary, not Mother Teresa, or anybody else, but the real Jesus Christ. So the gift of salvation in heaven through Jesus, received by faith. The next step is let him know that faith is putting all your trust in Jesus, only Jesus Christ for your salvation, alone. So now you're heading toward the commitment now. You got them thinking. So then you say, would you like to receive the free gift of Jesus Christ? There comes a moment of decision at this point. If you got it written down, clarify it. Do you acknowledge that eternal life for heaven is a free gift that you cannot buy or merit? Do you acknowledge that you're a sinner and cannot save yourself? People don't like saying that. They don't like, no, that's your opinion. You shouldn't judge me. Well, we're all sinners. God so loved the world, loved you, that he laid upon Jesus Christ your sins. You acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you, and he alone is your only way to heaven. And do you acknowledge that you need to put all your trust and faith in Jesus, and only Jesus, for your salvation? Number six, you need to confess your sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and be your personal Savior. And number seven, you need to repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Master of every area of your life. And now comes a prayer of commitment. And in short phrases, I come to you in Jesus Christ's name, realizing that eternal life, heaven, is a free gift that I cannot buy or merit. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. God, I thank you that you love so much me that you laid on Jesus Christ my sins. Jesus Christ is the only person who can save me. He alone is my only way to heaven. I now put all my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and only Jesus. And this is for my salvation. Jesus Christ, I confess to you my sins and ask you to forgive me of my sins. To be my personal Savior, I now repent of my sins and ask you, Jesus Christ, to be the Lord and Master of every area in my life. For it is Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Masons, you'll have to renounce that blood oath. You got another step to take. Then comes John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave him the only begotten Son, read word for word from King James. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. They took out the word begotten. Isn't that sneaky? Look it up in Bible.cc right now. Bible.cc, and you'll find in John 3:16, many of the Bibles remove the word begotten. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that explains clearly what you just did. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. And you cite John 3:16. Then you ask him the first question. Are you 100% certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Then you ask him the second question, the introduction. If you were to die today and be taken in the presence of Almighty God, and he were to ask you, what reason should I let you in heaven? What person would you give to him? Then, number four comes baptism of the new believer, because it is an act of obedience. The Bible commands that you be baptized, but it's not conditional. Don't mean you don't do it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Remember, the criminal on one side of Jesus was never baptized. But when you're able to, you should be baptized, absolutely. Would you like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to be in obedience to biblical commands? Now I'm going to put this up as a... we're already there. I'm going to put this up as a archive, or we got the other one up earlier today. And see if I'll have any questions. about it. There's some detailed stuff we covered tonight that matched up with the Bible even. Tells you what they're going to do. Didn't even get in the YouTube. Got it directly from the horse's mouth of what they're going to do. They just don't know when they're going to get it done. Because God's in control. They're not. God is. Well, family, we're at the end of the program tonight. And I appreciate y'all coming by. And I hope y'all got something out of it. Those are the steps. And you got their plans. In other ways, he controls it in more detail. What's really going on with the frequencies and all that nonsense. All that's going to end when the time comes. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to slam dunk them. You know, but you got to pray for those you know that's lost. Because when this all takes place, there'll be more lost. Those that believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and have nothing else I got to do are the ones that will be taken in by this New Age movement and the disclosure when Sinan Emanuel shows up as a hologram or some demon or looking nice and all this, you know it's going to be a lie. Boy, it's going to be hard-pressed to tell people about the voices in their head or technology. They're going to think you're crazy even though you're the ones hearing the voices. Oh, boy. Those days are coming now. It's coming. Y'all be ready now here. Well, y'all have a good night. And know that Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary. He's already won. We still got a ways to go. That tribulation, and they're trying so hard to try to fool people into thinking we're already in the tribulation period. And we're not. They're so disrupting and corrupting the Bible. They're so focused on the Jews. The Jews' conspiracy. It's a Jewish conspiracy. Well, it's a Muslim conspiracy. Well, it's the Vatican. Illuminati, Dan Brown. Oh, somebody make up your mind. And nobody realizes that somebody's wrong here. Has anybody ever thought that maybe it's all of them being used by Satan? I think that warrants a duh comment. And boy, they'll fight for it too. They really want the Jews to be the ones in charge. Okay, it's the Jews then. Okay. So now what are you going to do? Hey, we determined it's a Jewish conspiracy. Really? Now what are you going to do about it? You're just going to say, it's a Jewish conspiracy set there? Now what? Everybody looks around. They don't know what. So, well, no, let's do something. Let's go out and kill everybody that has a Bilderberger or a Brandwine or Goldstein last name. Is that what you're going to do? What are you going to do? Go get all the bankers? Oh. All the bankers with Jewish names, go kill them, right? Is that what you're going to do? Uh-huh. So then what about the Illuminati that's Italian, Irish, and Scottish? What about them? Leave them alone? Since they're the ones operating it. How about the Muslims? Oh, we forgot about them? How about the Protestants that are members of Freemasons? Forgot about them? You see how ridiculous it gets? Man, they're fighting hard to make it a Jewish conspiracy. And when they finally get it, they get people on their side. My question is to them, now what? They don't know what. So then you finally find out who it is. It's Lucifer. It's supernatural. Then you realize the way to deal with it is supernatural is by spiritual warfare. 2 Chronicles 7:14 and spiritual warfare. Now you're getting somewhere. But they're not going to do that. They're stuck on glue. Stuck on Jew. Stuck on Muslim. Stuck on Dan Brown and the chalice. And it's the Vatican. It's the Antichrist. Man, they ain't got a clue. Not a clue one. Everybody's in so many different directions. It's like throwing rice in a wedding. or a tree limb and a wood chipper. They don't know. But I tell you one thing, when that tribulation comes in, they're going to change a little tune. Their frequencies are going to change to a high pitch. I don't care if it's a SEAL, Special Forces, or an MMA boxer. They'll be on their knees. Every knee will bow before God. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. And when they see those Nephilim, when they see 15 foot, 20 foot, 12 foot Nephilim, when they come out of those caverns, you tell me you're a SEAL then. You tell me how strong you are when that happens. When you die, you no longer can decide where your soul is going to go. It's already determined at the point of death. You no longer have control. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. The body's going to the ground as dust. And when the judgment day comes about, God's going to bring that body back together. You can be cremated, carnated, whatever you want to, Nate, whatever. You can be cut up in little pieces or whatever, thrown in the water. It don't make one lick of difference. God will bring that body back together, glorify it. It's going to heaven or it's going to hell. Rewarded in heaven, judgment seat of Christ. Sent back to hell at the great white throne judgment. We just talked about leading someone to Jesus. Those that aren't there, well, you got the steps of where you're going to lead somebody. And you're not there, you better use them on yourself. And I wouldn't wait around for that neither. Because when this New Age movement picks up, when they start cranking down on the laws, right now it's practice. You're not going to sit back and smoke a cigar or drink a cup of coffee and say, okay, well, we're in it now. Okay, what do I do now? It's going to be fast-paced. Y'all be ready. Because God's going to use you. It's called divine appointments. Have these steps in your head, what you're going to do. May not have a Bible with you either. People don't like hearing this stuff, but it's coming around. Whenever God allows it to. Now everybody's stuck in the Sumerian tablets and the Mayan this, that, and the other. And we're going into the blood moon something or another. All this nonsense. People spent time writing books. Hagee wrote a stupid book on blood moons. Rick Warren on the purposeful driven life. You got to be kidding me. Nibiru here, Nibiru there. Who gives a hoot about Nibiru? Stand by. That day is coming. Where are you going to be? And where are you going to end up when the time comes? Now, y'all have a good night, you hear? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. That you can count on. But we don't know when. Nobody knows when. Nobody's ever going to figure it out either. When they're going to figure out, they're not going to figure it out. No one's ever figured out the dawn of time. Is the Antichrist Nimrod? Nobody really knows. Who's the two witnesses? I don't know. That's God's business. Just know there's two witnesses. Everybody's trying to identify them. There's even I've talked to one. There's even people down here that say, think that they're the witnesses. I'm one of the two witnesses. Someone tell me that, seriously. I just said, oh, I didn't get it. I didn't want to go there. I just said, oh, okay. What? Yeah. He says, I'm one of the witnesses. I said, what do you mean you're one of the witnesses? You're a Jehovah's Witness? He said, no. I said, what do you mean you're a witness? You're going to court? No. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, I'm one of the two witnesses, Tom. I just kind of stood there and looked or listened, and my eyes started blinking like a deer in headlights. I said, you telling me you're one of the two witnesses of the Bible? He said, yes. I just let it go. I just, oh, okay. I didn't want to get into it. Oh, yeah, it was dead serious. I was warned about that, too. And sure enough, he brought it up. Everybody wants to be one of the elect. Everybody wants to be one of the 144,000 or I don't know, whatever. Man, I don't know none. I have no idea. All I want to do is do what I'm doing now. That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. And I move on. You know, it's God's business. That's God's business. And I tell you, one thing's not a business, and that's any minister, preacher, rabbi, or pope, or priest, bishop, or cardinal, or whatever, on the pulpit speaking about politics is an abomination. Chuck Baldwin, Manning, the whole lot of them. All those that call themselves preachers and are talking about politics and, in fact, corrupting the Word of God. Lord, have mercy on their soul. They have no business talking about politics on the pulpit. They're to be taking what we're talking about tonight, bringing someone to Jesus. That's their only business they got to deal with. Unless they got an agenda. No, family. That's all God's business. Those things of tribulation. We're just going to be in it. Or taken out before it. And whether you are or not is really God's business. And nobody knows but Him. So it's about being ready now. Because nobody's ever going to figure it out. Until it happens. And then it's too late. Y'all have a good night now. Because you know you've won through Jesus Christ. Because He's the one on the cross already. We're just counting the casualties of. And we talked about that tonight. When God sets you up, you're taking away some of the casualties. And you're administering to them. So, on this Wednesday, the 19th of, oh, by the way, we are, our broadcasts and Bible studies are being played up at highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, highportradio.net. His email is highportradio@yahoo.com. He plays this randomly in his radio network, and he's expanding his business, putting up more antennas or towers, and to get bigger. So he's up there in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. He's got sponsors. Give him a hand up there, y'all. And we also can get our names out to get the truth out. That's all I get out of it. That's all I want out of it, is to get my broadcast out there, and that's it. And we're also played at KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network in Colorado. We'll simulcast there. On my website, watchmenforjesus.com, my archives are there. Just draw down them, do what you want. I got a couple of, actually I got about 200-page milestone I put there in kind of like a book form. Just do what you want to with it. Don't make no money off of it, though. I'll come get you. And then I got a study on suicide conspiracy, 1 and 2. Part 1, part 2, how they're conducting the suicides, 22 suicides per day of our troops, per day, I didn't make a mistake, is being orchestrated. It's on my website. Make it up your mind, and then also do your own research to verify it or whatever. It's all right there. I got a Facebook thing, Watchman for Jesus, articles, and it's pretty much moving fast there. And I appreciate the work that people are doing for me there, helping me. Family, it's come to the end of the program, and tomorrow's Thursday, and we'll cover some more. See y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock broadcast, and then tomorrow night Bible study, and Friday night Bible study. And there you go. So y'all have a good night. And this is Watchman for Jesus, signing off. God bless.
Shadows from the room, and Jesus stood before me with His arms. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to Him and cried. sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
God bless. Good night. Signing off.